lot of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance. Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Ducket Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, all kinds of situations taking place over on the Elite Series, man.
Yeah, it appears as though what should have been 8 days of competition between the first two stops of the St. John's at Chickamauga has now turned into 2.5 days of competition.
Yeah. As
Paul Mueller gets his second Elite Series win in, I guess, the span of a year, having won at Lake Lanier. He is now one on deep spotted bass using his electronics and punching largemouth in Florida. So yeah, congratulations to him. I would have definitely lost in the over under on this in hindsight. 14 fish, 47 pounds, 6 ounces gets the job done. But like I said, a lot of guys running a long way. They had the way. That is a debacle right now, because then they canceled or they moved the Chickamauga tournament
to March.
Yeah, Michael Neal's dad is in the press release. Like the Michael Neal who fishes, who's the sheriff, whose name is Mike Neal. He's like, yeah, it's like really going to be dangerous potentially in the future. So then they move it to March anyway. That's what's going on.
Yeah, they got to do what they got to do, man.
Yeah, so it's like right after the Classic. So they'll have Paul Mueller's 2.5 day tournament win riding him through to...
Hey, it's good for Paul. Do you know why?
He gets a little bit of love. He's not lost in the mix.
Yeah. I've said that for years. That's the downfall of somebody winning on the front end of a back-to-back, is you kind of get lost in all the shuffle of the event. But anyway, didn't even have a limit on the final day, man.
Well, no. I mean, a lot of those guys were running in an hour and a half, 2 hours, and before what they did on the final day... I got a lot of beefs today, Mark. I'll just stop it right there. I got beefs.
Wait, before you get into it, I want to let everybody know we're going to have Cliff Prince on. He couldn't get his Skype working, so it's just going to be a phone call here in about 15, 20 minutes. And then, what was I going to say? Oh, he was the only guy that had like over 15 pounds on the final day.
Yeah, 16 even at the limit.
So we'll get him on, talk about the entire situation that's taken place over on the Elite Series, and get his thoughts on not only the SJR, but the situation with the chick, and then go from there. So go ahead, man. Vent away.
I'm not venting. I just say it's a weird deal because they actually kind of like announced that Chickamauga was going to be moved like midday yesterday.
Yeah.
And they'd also then had a shortened Monday so the guys could weigh in and then drive to Chickamauga that they had decided. And you had guys that were making long runs, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours just to get to the fish where the grass was. So they really only got to fish for like an hour. But then they weighed in early. They could have just made that decision earlier.
That's not true.
And actually given the guys a full day to fish.
Dude, that's not true.
All so right. You're just saying it was unsafe. It became apparent that there would be unsafe conditions on Chickamauga in a 3 hour
time
span.
You're telling me that the organization itself was not analyzing and making sure that they were doing everything possible to ensure the safety of these guys?
I don't understand why did
because
it
they couldn't, dude. They couldn't make a decision. They wanted to give the opportunity for the guys to fish this week. So they waited until the very last minute to make that decision.
Well, why didn't
it wasn't about Sunday. It was about the following week.
Why didn't they make that decision Sunday night instead of Monday morning?
Because they didn't know.
Because that would have given the guys a full day to fish then, and actually given guys that were like Patrick Walters and stuff a chance to get down to his fish and catch him.
The decision that was made about the following week at the Chick right, was not based upon what was taking place on Monday.
That had nothing to do with it. But why couldn't they have made that decision Sunday night that they Chickamauga was going to be they unsafe and then they, fish a full day Monday?
Dude, they could have, but they were waiting until the last minute to make sure that they were making the right decision for the best interest in the guys. That's why they waited. I mean, what do you want to do? Every time, oh, dude, you give me all kinds of crap about the weather. You think they got somebody, you think Eric Lopez is just sitting there with his nose in front of a monitor going, hey.
That's a trip decision.
We shouldn't have a tournament because there's a cold front getting ready to come
but
through.
But I'm just saying it wasn't going to be unsafe Sunday night, but it was going to be safe Monday then.
Things change. All right, now, could they have made a decision a day before? Yeah, they could have, but I think they were looking at it from a perspective of, let's go to the very last minute to see if we can get this thing in next week.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Hang on. Here's the other thing, all right? If they do cancel it, which they did, or reschedule. They have to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row from a rescheduling standpoint to be able to do that. Maybe they couldn't have had it done on Sunday, dude.
But they knew they weren't going to, they might have known they weren't going to have the tournament, whether they reschedule it for their later date or for March or something. They knew it would be unsafe and that there wouldn't be a tournament to give these guys a chance to actually fish on the final day instead of basically have a BFL for an Elite Series trophy.
These are best in the world. You're telling me that they can't go out? Cliff Prince did it. He went out and caught 16 pounds.
Listen to the final day weights, dude.
Dude,
10,
I don't
12,
care.
6 pounds, 8
that
pounds, 10 pounds,
matter.
7 pounds, 6, that, 5, 9,
they're the
5,
best in the
5,
world, man.
4. Steve Kennedy zeroed.
They're the best in the world. Change it up. You're supposed to be able to adapt
now
to all
conditions.
Now,
here's my other question with it.
What?
How'd they decide on 20?
I have no
that
idea.
That wasn't like a cut. One. That's not a final day cut. So you have I don't understand. Why didn't you just fish all the guys who normally would have made the day three cut? Why don't you fish full field, and then everyone who made the day three cut, or full field, top 10? Why? How did you decide on 20? What if you're 21st place in that?
Yeah, I think what they did
I don't understand.
Well,
it's
because
an arbitrary number.
No, it's because of the shortened schedule.
20 guys fishing 2.5 days for an Elite Series?
Dude,
they're making it up as they go now?
Has that situation ever occurred in the history of the Elite Series?
Yeah, they have done early weigh-ins before.
No. I'm talking about where they cancel the first 2 days on back-to-back events.
Not in a regular season.
No, it's never happened. All right? So what they did is they tried to make the best out of a really, really bad situation. Okay? 20 guys got exposure. 20 guys fished the final day. They didn't want to do 10 because what about the 10 guys that probably got left out? They were like, hey, I'm not getting any exposure for my sponsors, and I want an opportunity to fish.
Whatever. Hey,
so
they
came up with the 20 number.
If you think I'm being nitpicky on the Elite Series, wait till we switch over to MLF.
I just think, dude, you're not getting the big picture from a business standpoint.
I'm not. I'm looking.
All you ever do is think about the fishing.
Absolutely, 100%.
You do not think about the business side of this game.
I'm thinking about the integrity of the water to make sure that it's fair for all.
Dude, you're the best in the world. Go adjust. Go find fish. That's what you do. That's what you get paid to do.
I'm just
saying. No matter what the conditions are.
It seems random with the number of 20 because of how close it was. 21st could have won, or why not keep it to 10? And then it also seems random the time of the weigh-in. Why not do it a half hour earlier? Maybe a half hour later
because
and Patrick Walters banged 7 pounders on back-to-back.
Dude, they were
half.
Trying to take into consideration giving the guys some travel time. That's the only reason that they did that.
I know.
All right? It was a bad, bad situation, and they were trying to make the best out of stuff that they couldn't control.
That being said, did you see the crowds there? They frickin' showed up, Mark.
Yeah.
And like on Monday, now I know it's Florida, 98% of these people are retired,
yeah,
and they walk their dogs and watch Jeopardy. So the weigh-in is like, you know, big stuff, but there were a bunch of people there.
It's good stuff.
All right,
man.
You want to flip over to...
All right, what do you got?
Okay. So this kind of got me going yesterday then. Should I go into it? You think we should?
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's bothering me.
Dude, I have no idea what you're going to talk
here's
about.
The, here's
really
the
don't.
Two things that are bothering me. So we got this heavy hitters thing, right?
Okay.
Brian Thrift, Jacob Wheeler. Not fishing. I got to make sure I got this right. Not fishing in the knockout round today. There are 38 anglers fishing in the knockout round today. You with me so far? Brian Thrift wins. Jacob Wheeler wins. new wrinkle with MLF. You win your elimination. I can't remember. You win what the first two rounds overall in your group, which is what Brian Thrift and Jacob Wheeler did.
And he got a little jack for it, too.
So they automatically get sent to the finals.
And he got a little money.
So now there's an incentive. You know, Jacob Wheeler and Randall Tharp, I watched it. Tharp is catching fish that are 113 that aren't counting, 111. Wheeler's trying to hang on. Now you've got the drama at the top that wouldn't otherwise be there. Kudos, MLF. Good job on that. Great drama. Also, when guys have meltdowns at the end of the round, keep the camera on them. That's the good stuff. I waited around in the studio 10 minutes to watch the end of the round meltdowns yesterday, and then they cut the camera away when the meltdowns happen, like I'm having right now, Mark. I want to see the meltdown. That's what we see.
Dude, I'm with you. I love the
show
drama.
Show the damn meltdowns.
I'm with you. Take his advice right there. Show the meltdowns. I agree. I want
to
see.
I waited around to see Justin Lucas's meltdown. They cut off mid meltdown. You knew it was happening. He's catching shorts. He's not talking. He's got the buff pulled up like a freaking turtle over his eyes. He's not answering his marshal.
I'm with you, man.
I waited around for that. They cut it off.
That's part of it.
Mid windmill.
That's part of the WWE conversation that we've had years ago.
All right, I'm gonna get killed on this show. So here's what. Okay. Massive sidetrack at Cliff. Okay. If Cliff Prince is watching this, he's probably like, get no call, no show on the interview in the second
half.
No, he's
good, man. He's good.
So Wheeler and Brian Thrift, no surprise there. They're on to the finals. So they got this heavy hitters thing. Your biggest fish in each of the five stages, add the weights together, top 30 guys go to the heavy hitters. You got $100,000 fish, $50,000 fish, $100,000
over. Lots of money.
Tons of money there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I confirmed this yesterday. Heavy hitters is your biggest fish in each tournament. So let's say you finish fifth in the first two rounds. Then you go to the knockout round. Then you finish fifth in the knockout round. Then you go to the final round. You have 4 days. You have earned 4 days. And your heaviest fish, regardless of whether you caught it the first cast of your event or the final cast of the championship round, that fish is your big fish for that tournament.
You are correct.
All right. You're punishing Jacob Wheeler and Brian Thrift for catching fish because they're not fishing on the third round today. They caught them too good to have an opportunity to add to their heavy hitters today. Now, I know they're going straight to the finals because there's only 38 guys fishing.
That is correct.
But this isn't an NFL where Tom Brady gets to heal and your wide receiver's glute gets better on the off week. You didn't earn a bye. In fishing, now you've got Brian Thrift, who didn't fish yesterday, isn't fishing today, and now has to go to the final round without having been on the water for 3 days now, competing against guys who have been on the water for two consecutive days.
Yeah.
So now he's got to get back in the groove, and he missed out on 8 hours of opportunity to catch a heavy hitter's fish, as did Jacob Wheeler. Now, I think Brian Thrift's going to win three out of the five stages, and Jacob Wheeler might do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's 24 hours that you can't add to your heavy hitters because you caught them too good and you can't be on the water to add to your heavy hitters, whereas a guy who finished second or third is going to get an extra day on the Lake Fork and all this stuff. You're not going to tell me that these guys can't go out. You're getting punished. You're losing track of your fish.
They're not getting punished. What you're forgetting here, Matthew, is that are they not getting paid?
It doesn't
matter.
Are
they not going to the bank with more
money? Take the money out of the equation.
How can you do that?
So Brian Thrift got guaranteed $12,000 and could potentially not even make heavy hitters and lose out on $300,000 to $400,000?
That is an if. What is guaranteed? It is a guaranteed fact that he is going to the bank with more money. Agreed?
Yeah, it's also a guaranteed
agreed?
Fact.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Then what? You're telling
Why
me that
he
should
Why are you punishing
have,
him? He should be able...
You're not punishing
yes,
him. You
he
just
is.
Gave him $12,000.
Whoever loses that round doesn't get a chance to compete
you're
on that third day and
how
add
is,
to their heavy hitters weight.
How is making money punishing somebody?
It's not. It's like, hey, you're going to make this money, so get over the fact that you're screwed out of 8 hours to catch
Dude,
a big fish.
You are
You should be
delusional.
Able to do both. No, I'm
you
not.
You are delusional. It doesn't matter. Here's why.
Yes, it does.
Okay, then make the choice. Nope, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to take advantage of that
no,
12
it's
grand.
A very easy
no,
fix
no, no, no,
on
no, no,
this,
no.
Mark. Very easy
Make
fix.
A decision then.
No, it's not.
Make
Here's
a decision.
It is. Heavy hitters should only count for the first two full field days.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Then
I'm not disagreeing.
You're not
with
punishing
that statement.
Thrift because
you're
now
you're not punishing anybody,
dude. You're punishing Brian Thrift and Jacob Wheeler. They
you
have
just
no
gave
opportunity.
$12,000.
There's 38 guys on the water now that are getting 8 additional hours to catch a fish that counts as their heavy hitter's weight that those two anglers will not have because they simply kicked their asses in the first two rounds.
Dude.
Is that a fact or is that not a fact?
That is a fact. And
okay,
I'm not
that's
disagreeing.
My point.
Hang on a minute. I am not disagreeing with you and your statement that they should only take into consideration the first 2 days. You're dead on. All right? But the fact of the matter is based upon what is currently out there, they made the right decision to go balls to the walls and earn that spot in that next round
right. And
I'm make $12,000.
I'm saying that the system is flawed, that the rules are flawed, that the heavy hitters counts for the knockout round in the championship
dude,
round.
I'm not saying. I'm not disagreeing.
It seems like
with
a
you
real easy fix. If
it
you go
is.
To the Elite Series tournament, you catch a 15-pounder on the final day. You don't get any big bass money.
It is.
Full field isn't competing there. Now,
yeah.
This is the other thing. That's interesting.
Yeah. You're dead on. It's an easy fix.
It's a super easy fix.
Yeah, just take the first 2 days and that's it. Go from there.
Because you're going to have guys, like I said, imagine if Thrift wins 3 out of 5 or Wheeler, which is very possible.
Yeah.
They are performing at a higher level of everybody else and having less opportunities to make the heavy hitters
yeah. As
a result of their increased performance.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
I agree.
Just take it for the first 2 days, but you can't now because then it wouldn't be fair. I guess you could go back and...
Hey, you know, some people, and we've talked to guys over the years, some guys like the day off. Some guys like the fact that they get a day of rest to get redialed in or do whatever they do. Let's flip it. Other guys like to do what? They want to be on the water as many days as possible to keep themselves in the groove that they've established.
Yes. Okay, so here's
all
the
right.
other thing.
All right.
So this was all over, all the back channels and all the stuff and people tweeting about it. It's on Ott Defo yesterday, whatever, as Marshall goes, hey, got a text from whoever the tournament director is now that says, Wheeler's throwing a crankbait. Oh, it's like, huh? Everyone's like, oh, that's crazy. What's going on behind the scenes? But
yeah. Basically,
it's a rule where if another competitor who is fishing hears something about another competitor fishing, so another competitor somehow heard, whether it's through an open mic, a fan told them something, said, hey, Wheeler's catching him on the crankbait. So now they got to let everyone in the field know. So it's not like there's some sort of secret society where they're letting a select group of guys know how the guys are witted. It's simply FLMLF wrinkle. So I call up one of my buddies who used to fish in the MLF, and I said, is this true? Is this how it goes? He fished the selects. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it freaking happened to me. He said, we were on this lake. He said, and I won't even name the lake. I won't blow it out.
You have to tell everybody, you know.
Yeah. So he said, we're on this lake, and there's this old boy watching me fish. He said, you doing any good? And this is a selects. And this, he said, no, I'm not. And he goes, well, they were smoking a topwater this morning. And his marshal, his cameraman, actually, said, oh, we got to tell everybody. And he turned around, he goes, well, he told the guy, he said, oh, thanks, I can't get any information. He said he was fishing a hydrilla bed right there. The guy said, he should have been throwing a topwater this morning. So he said, we got to tell everybody on the water. So they stopped the tournament, and they sent a mass text out. And this mass text said, early morning bite, topwater's over hydrilla. Everybody got informed of topwater's over
there
hydrilla.
You have it.
So it is a, and that was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is not anything new. It's just... They just happened. I'm sure they would rather that mic not have been live and see that. Just like I would rather have them kept it on Justin Lucas for an additional 30 seconds and then really ask him how he was feeling.
Yeah.
And then he could have donated that rod and stuff to and added some dollars to the cursing jar.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man, I agree. All right. After that entire... rage between both of us, I think we both agree, hey, it's a simple fix for the heavy hitters. Take the first 2 days. Take that element totally out of it. Agreed, Matthew?
Yes. It's a simple fix for the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
The Elite Series, I understand. They're trying to do their best. It's a sucky situation. I was talking to an Elite Series angler.
It's a bad deal,
I was
man.
Talking to an Elite Series angler yesterday who was on his way home, and I said, dude, could you imagine, you know, last year, the Elite Series had so many unanswered questions. How are they going to do this with the field? The guys coming back, the BPT, everyone leaving. And, you know, they started out with Rick Klund smashing them and 10-pounders left and right. And the first two tournaments could not have gone any better.
You're right.
I mean, they'll get through this. They can handle it. It's going to be great. The 50th Classic on Guntersville. But if this start had happened last year, oh, God, that would have been rough.
Cringe.
So the fishy gods are looking out for, because this will be fine. We'll get to Guntersville. Yeah. Someone will smash them. It'll be the 50th Classic. Then they'll go to Chickamauga. They'll smoke them there.
Yeah.
And this will be a distant memory. But for now, we still want a lot of fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Coming back with Cliff Prince right here after the break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, Live Sight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D, and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Luz doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've gotten a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200 yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50 yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can, stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Pop to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
I travel the country on the Bassmaster Elite Series, I simply can't let the weather be the reason I don't win $100,000. That's why I use AFCO clothing to keep me warm, dry, and protected from whatever Mother Nature wants to throw at me. My season depends on it. My career depends on it. AFCO, any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body, but with ribs to give it a bigger profile, but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well. But you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.
All right, we are back on a Tuesday. Mark and Matt in studio. And there's an angler out there, Matthew, that is in a little pickle.
The headline, Cox in a pickle.
Cox in a pickle. He really is, though.
That's a great point. So yeah. The Bassmaster Elite Series at Lake Chickamauga Lake, according to this, originally scheduled for later this week, has been rescheduled for March 19th through 22nd, and a quick trip over to the FLWFishing.com/schedule page shows that on March 19th through 22nd in Alexander City, Alexander, Lake Martin is hosting a pro circuit event, of which John Cox is registered to fish. Yeah. So I guess he's got to make the decision on whether he fishes Lake Martin or whether he fishes Chickamauga. I think if it was up to our next guest or any of the other Elite Series guys, he'd be on Lake Martin.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. All right, real quick, and then we're going to get to our guest, Mr. Cliff Prince. For some reason, I've been getting some emails and texts about the Sunline Hotline show not being on iTunes. I don't know why, because it showed up on my phone, on your phone. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw that show out on iTunes again. So if you didn't get it, hopefully it'll show up here sometime today. The other thing is, let's see here. There was one other item. I can't remember. There was one other thing from a technology side of it.
I don't know. I can't remember. I can't help you with this one.
Hopefully I'll remember it here later in the show. All right. It is time to go to our special guest. We were trying to get Skype set up, but ran into a few glitches getting Cliff set up. But instead of fishing, he is at home. Working.
Yeah, he's gonna work for the next month now.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's bring him in. Cliff, you there, man?
Yes, I am. Good morning, you guys.
All right. An unexpected day off, correct?
Yes, it is, man. I woke up at 3:30 this morning. My biological alarm clock went off, and I'm like, thank goodness I'm not driving to Tennessee, because that's what I had planned on doing, was just sleep until I got up, taking a shower and taking off to Tennessee. So right now I'd be about getting there probably and probably planning on getting on the water today at this point. So thank goodness I get to recoup a little bit, you know?
All right, let's talk a little bit about the 2.5-day performance that you had on the SJR. A tremendous final day. What are your thoughts on your finish at the St. Johns River?
Well, you know, after my pre-practice and my practice, I'll take it. Of course, you know, I was only one big bite away, and that's very possible here. And I fished that way the last day. I fished to get a big bite. I just didn't. And, I mean, if it would have been my turn, I would have won it, but it just wasn't.
You've been really consistent.
You know,
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, no, you're good. I mean, the first day I just dug myself a hole with 10-10, but I at the time with the weather, the way it shaped up and everything, I was glad to have it.
I was going to say, you've been really consistent on the St. John's River, but it seems like you've caught them a number of different ways each time they've been there. I can picture memorable fish from grass, from docks, from shell beds, cranking, slow fishing, bed fishing. I mean, you're pretty comfortable one end to the other on that thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I fished this place for over 30 years, so and that's probably the kiss of death here. Because, you know, I didn't sleep for a month prior to this thing because I didn't have a really good pre-practice, and I really didn't know what was going to transpire just because February can be so drastic with the weather, and y'all seen that with the south wind that blew all the water out of the river. I mean, it shaped up to be a really tough tournament, and it was. But I've got so many ideas in my head that I want to do, and with only 3 days of practice and only a 3-day short tournament, you know, a 2.5-day tournament, really. I had so many things that I wanted to do and only did a third of what I had in my mind I wanted, you know, that I needed to do. I mean, I only went probably 5 miles either way, north or south of the ramp the first day, and I burnt 45 gallons of fuel, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
Whoa.
I covered a lot of water. I did. My marshal was like, "Why did you only make 3 casts here?" You know, I'm sure he was thinking that. You know, but
wow. Well, let's do this. I want to go back because I want to see if the fans and including myself can get anything out of learning from what you just described on your first day. If you had an opportunity to do things over on day one, what would you have done, and what do you think the demise of that day one was for you?
Well, I can answer that very easily. The conditions changed so much because the water dropped so low. And, I mean, I was planning on bed fishing the first 2 days because I had found some spawners. I had probably about 15 pairs. And anyway, with the water dropping like it did, I mean, the beds that I had found, they were high and dry. I mean, the fish had backed off. And in my mind, what I needed to do with that water dropping like that was fish shell bars. And, I mean, I caught some fish doing that, but I didn't catch what I needed to. If I would have went in those canals first thing that morning and just fished for the fish that were in there, just fishing instead of, you know, waiting for the water to come up and trying to steal sight fish, those fish had backed off and they were still in there. And I think that's the way that a lot of the guys caught it. I haven't watched any of this, you know, the live stuff or anything like that, but I got a feeling that's what they were doing. And I probably could have had a little better bag and not dug myself such a, you know, a deficit the first day.
Hey, just to follow up on that, Matt, real quick, do you do that? Do you go back and watch what other competitors do after events, Cliff?
Well, I think there's some live archives that some of the guys watch. And, yeah, I mean, I like to watch the show and just see what those guys did because, I mean, they have no preconceived notions when they come here. And they approach this place a lot different than I do. So their perspective on it, you know, Kelly J, he's been very consistent the last 2 times. And I know exactly where he's at and what he's doing. You know, I knew that from last year. But, you know, just being the you know, out of respect of him and you know, I didn't go in there and do that. You know, I know a lot of guys did, you know, I think he had a lot of company this year, but, you know, that I knew that he was going to be a factor in this tournament just the way it was shaping up.
Is it hard to stay in this thing mentally? You said you've been thinking about this thing coming into it. I'm sure you had an idea of how it would go down, something like 25 pounds a day, 4 days, holding the trophy on Sunday, and then here you are, not fishing Thursday, not fishing Friday. You had the off day on Wednesday, so the last time you had been on the water was Tuesday, and then a shortened final day just from a mental standpoint. I mean, you had to have some fortitude for the guys who stuck in there and racked out a top 10 finish with a myriad of things completely out of the norm happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I've seen this river get this low, and I knew what was going to happen when I seen that south wind, you know, for 2 days, 20 to 30 miles an hour. I knew what was going to happen, and a lot of the guys were like, man, where did the water go? Well, we don't have a bank in this river. So, you know, when that wind gets behind it like that, it just blows right on out, you know, into the ocean, you know. And I was really surprised that they could get in some of those places that they were fishing, honestly. So, you know, that being said, I approached it a lot different, and I was fortunate enough to have enough knowledge of this place of, you know, what the wind's going to do to the east bank of the lake and the north end and all that, where they caught them last time. I was fortunate enough to know that, you know, that wasn't going to be a factor at all.
All right, let's talk about your final day. Success, 16 pounds. What can you tell the fans about the process that you went through to manage that limit?
Well, I knew I needed a big bite, and I went in Dunn's Creek first thing that morning and fished for, you know, a couple of bites, and that didn't transpire. It just, I guess the water temperature hadn't gotten where it needed to be for what I was doing. I've caught a lot of 5 to 7 pounders in Dunn's Creek this time of year, you know, throwing top water and jerk baiting and different things, and it just didn't happen. So I went back to what I had caught in the first 2 days and didn't have a bite. I mean, it was like they were there. They just, I guess they had been there, done that, and seen that. So they didn't want to participate. So I pretty much scrapped everything I was doing and I went down to Lake George on a stretch of wood that I had, and I'd had a couple of bites in practice, and I knew the wind had blew on it the first two, you know, the days it got canceled. So I let it settle down and was fortunate enough to get on one stretch and catch five. They were decent fish. They weren't no giants, of course, but I knew I had to fish for big fish. I knew what I was doing wasn't going to have, you know, wasn't going to give me a 25-pound bag. And what I did, I felt like, give me the opportunity, it just didn't happen.
You got your third classic coming up, and obviously I'm sure you were thinking about Chickamauga, but now looking ahead to Gunnersville, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it seems to be a fishery, looking at the way you fish, that is kind of in your wheelhouse.
I'm thinking it's going to be a shallow deal, you know, running the bank with, you know, a lipless or a chatterbait or finding some fish that are, you know, fairly shallow. So I feel like, you know, that, I mean, it's anybody's classic. Anybody can catch 30 pounds on that lake. You just got to land at the right place at the right time.
Have you gone down, did you get to go down and pre-practice that at all, or did you just kind of going in with the conditions that you had?
I did. I when I went and picked my boat up there at Phoenix, there in Winchester, it's only about an hour and a half or so. So whenever I picked my new boat up, that's where I broke it in at. I went down there and spent, I think, 3 days there after I picked it up. So, it worked out good. I was able to go up there and basically just drive through the woods to get to Gunnersville. It's only, like I say, an hour and a half. So it worked out good.
So what are your thoughts on the rescheduling of this event this week, Cliff?
You know, I guess that, from what I understand, I have never fished Chickamauga this time of year, and they said it was at Winter Pool before this big flood. And I mean, I'm excited about it because I think it's going to, I think the fishing's going to be just as good or better, you know. And if it's in flood conditions, I mean, I would have been fine with it because I had really no preconceived notions of what it is before or after the flood. So I'd have been just fishing the conditions as it, you know, as when I got there. So I'm sure the way they talked, it must have been really, really significant.
What are your thoughts about back-to-back events? Do you like it? Do you hate it? What are your thoughts?
Man, I like the back-to-back deal. Like, you know, for us as anglers having to travel to, say, New York, I like back-to-back events. If I have to travel to, say, California or Texas, I like back-to-back events, you know, just because, you know, while I'm there, we might as well fish 2 weeks. And then whenever I come home, it's not like I have to go to Texas twice in 1 year type thing, you know?
All right. Hey, I've got kind of a selfish question here because the last time that I was at the SJR for an Elite Series event, there's a lot of people around there that fish little local jackpots and stuff like that. Any chance that you might be fishing some of those local jackpots? And what's the thoughts of some of the people that when you show up to the ramp, do they say anything to you? Are they cool with that? Are you friends with them? I'm sure you and Terry Scroggins have had some knockdown dragouts. What's the scoop on that, Cliff?
I every now and then my son and I will go fish an afternoon tournament or something like that. They don't really say anything. Some of the guys are like, what is he doing here? But most of them are all my buddies. I don't go practice, you know. I just go fishing to have fun, and you know, I take it serious when I'm out there because I want to beat them, because they want to beat me too. So I go out there just to have fun and to show my son, you know, kind of the way I fish tournaments, because he's at the age where he's starting to fish tournaments and he's getting the ideas. You know, him and I fish the Wolfson's tournament. It's one of the largest tournaments in the Southeast. It's got like 400 and 500 boats in it. We fished it last year. I fished the Lad and Lasses on Thursday with my daughter. Then I fished the VIP tournament that Friday with Bass Assassin Lure's son. And then I fished the Saturday tournament with my son. And he fished that Sunday. He had a team tournament. And between those 4 days, we had almost 100 pounds of fish weight in my boat in 4 days. And that was in May.
Wow.
So it was fun, you know, and then I didn't practice for the tournament. I just went fishing. That was the tournament that got canceled last year or postponed. That was the tournament that we were supposed to go fish that tournament in Oklahoma, and they postponed it. So I come home, and that was the week that the Wolfson was going on, and I just jumped in it just for fun.
All right. So, very cool. Anything else,
man? They weren't liking it a whole lot when I come in, and they're like, man, what'd you do? I said, man, I just went fishing. You know, it was fun. It was a lot of fun to fish my home lake the way I used to fish it, you know, and it still works, you know.
Very cool.
Well, we should have known this was coming because 14 top 10s in your career so far. And based on my research, 10 of those have been back-to-backs, meaning out of your 14, you would have a top 10 and then another top 10. And you finished the year off with a fourth up there in Michigan, and then you started this year off with the fourth, kind of keeping that string of back-to-back top tens. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, man.
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts on the remainder of the season? I mean, I know we got the Classic coming up now, but really, how do you think the remainder of the season is going to set up for you, only one event into the season?
You know, I mean, it's early in the season, but man, what a season we got. We got Eufaula, we got South Carolina, you know, Santee Cooper. We've got some awesome venues to go to, and we ought to, it ought to be just a dadgum slugfest if the weather will cooperate with us, you know. February, you know, when we schedule tournaments, you know, it's down here in the South. I mean, who knows what it's going to do in February. I mean, it could be 80 degrees or it could be 20. So, but that being said, I'm looking forward to all the events. You know, Santee's a good one. Eufaula's a good one. Fork. I mean, then we go to St. Lawrence. I mean, all of those tournaments, man, I'll just be slugfest.
Yeah, a lot of big string is going to be used in the first half of the season there. A lot of 25-pound tests, braided line, extra heavy hooks.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I look forward to that.
All right, very cool.
I look forward to that.
Hey, man, I'm sure you're appreciative of a few days off now. You got a little time off. What are you going to do with this unexpected time off?
Man, I may just jump in this FLW event here on the St. John's this week. You know, shoot, I plan on fishing this week. I might as well fish another one on my home lake, right?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Go for it.
He's got a great point. That's...
Everybody, all my buddies are calling me that are fishing this thing, man, what should I do? And I tell them exactly what to do, but I might be in there grinding it out with them. You know, who knows?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that would be a great story if you came back and ended up winning that thing. All right, man. Great, great job on your home body of water there, the SJR. And looking forward to seeing you at the Classic, man. We appreciate you taking time out today.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all calling. I enjoyed it. Anytime.
All right. Be safe and enjoy the time off there, Cliff.
Good deal. Y'all too, man. Y'all be safe.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right, there you have it, Cliff Prince. And I didn't even think about that. What's going on at the SJR this week?
Apparently an FLW.
It's not a circuit.
It's got to be either a BFL or a Toyota.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the schedules right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you should jump into that, man. Make a little scratch.
February, when would it be?
Valentine's weekend, man.
Date. Okay. So February 13th through 15th, the Southern Division of the Toyota Series, formerly the Costa.
Yeah.
Formerly the Stren. Formerly the Everstart. Formerly just known as the Series.
Yeah.
Is at Palatka, Florida, out of the St. John's River. With their new structured payouts and stuff. Cliff Prince could. What if this is what? Let me get back to the home here. 1 second.
What are you doing? What are you looking up?
This will be a very easy decision on what Cliff Prince should do because I think he's. Yeah, he runs a Phoenix.
Yeah.
Cliff, go fish the damn tournament on the St. John's River. You could win like $100,000.
Yeah, man. A lot of people on the instant feedback, they're like, what is John Cox going to do? I don't know. I'll try and find out between now and tomorrow's show. We'll see. Hey, by the way, I remember what the other thing was now. Maynard on the instant feedback, longtime listener. I do not want to respond to your comment on the instant feedback.
Are you going to get people texting us again? You going to not respond, but then tell us what it's
about? No, I'm not even going to do that. Okay. What I'm going to say is, Maynard, send me an email, mark@basszone.com, with your phone number. I would be more than happy to take the time to explain to you why that will not happen.
You have another heart attack because of getting upset at the show? I was reading the PA crankbait going forward. You need to not raise Mark's blood pressure. Not good.
Yeah. No, I was.
You were fine. I could tell. Fine. It was a spirited conversation.
Yeah. We'll try to get Paul Mueller on next week and talk about his win and then continue to work towards shows. Hopefully, we'll have the winner of the MLF event that is taking place on Lake. They don't have back to back events, do they? Are they back to back? They're not back to back.
I don't think so. I don't know.
So, we'll try to get the winner. That's kind of the plan next week to have both winners on. But tomorrow, Mr. Al McCullough of the NPFL is going to announce the first 10 anglers.
You hear that?
In his field. Matt has seen the list.
You hear that?
You are sworn to secrecy, though.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's some hammers on there.
6. Familiar with 6 out of the 10.
Okay. So tomorrow we find out. And then I am working on getting one of those anglers on the show tomorrow. Also.
Very familiar with a couple of them.
Yeah.
They are. They've won stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Been around a long time.
Yeah. One is
industry veterans.
Forefront of the industry. So we'll see.
Some of that local stud flavor in there. The guys who have, you know, who win in their region, a lot of the regional stuff. You have national championship and multiple division competitors.
It's $5,000 a pop, correct?
Mm-hmm.
$5,000 a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
8 tournaments. $40,000.
No, that doesn't mean that they're going to fish them. It just says, in the top, inaugural invites to the field of 125.
Well, what I was told is those individuals have accepted
Reading what it says. It's got the National Professional, the NPFL logo, and then inaugural invites. So,
accepted invites, according to
it doesn't say
Mr.
accepted
McCullough.
Here, it just says invite.
I'm just telling you what he told me. When I was setting the thing up. So we will, like I said, I am working on getting one of the prospective invites on the show tomorrow.
It shouldn't be that hard.
The other thing is the PBA has back-to-back events. They actually have the Players Tour Championship, I think, going on this week. We were going to try and get Chris on the show just for a few minutes, Chris Prather. We'll try and get that done tomorrow. If not, we'll get him on next week, talk about his experience in the Tournament of Champions at Riviera Lanes. So,
I'm trying to figure out who won the Arizona Open here, Mark.
They don't have results posted?
No.
They had a full field, though.
I know.
It was jam-packed.
I lost 20 bucks.
Did Rojas fish?
I lost 20 bucks on Rojas's kid.
Did both Rojas's fish?
No, just Austin.
Just Austin.
As a boater. I caught fish each day, but
yeah.
I thought I'd put him a lock for a top 50. Didn't happen.
Dean didn't fish it?
No.
Huh. Thought he might.
They had to practice for the...
Oh, that's right.
MLF.
Yeah.
On Eufaula.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing it, but I don't think I am.
Can't find the results, huh?
No.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm not going to find them. I'm just looking at the computer screen. It's not there. Sorry.
It's not there.
We can end the show.
Oh, my gosh. We need to talk to the man that makes things happen.
Billy Egan.
Billy Egan, why he doesn't have the results out there.
I'm sure. That's what I was making sure. No, because 2020 Arizona Open information, I don't see it.
They're not there.
I don't see it. 2019, Wednesday. No, someone won it, though.
How much
was
it?
They won like a bass cap boat and stuff.
$50,000?
$1,500 entry fee, yeah.
Very nice. All right, everybody. That is it for today. Tomorrow, Al McCullough, along with hopefully a special guest to go along with Al and his announcement of the first 10 anglers on the NPFL. Once again, I will upload the Friday show, the Sunline Hotline show, once again. And then, man, you guys... Tomorrow, you got to start talking about what we have going on with Big Bite Baits, you and Brad Hallman.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Bait. What goes live today also on the BTL YouTube channel, in addition to this show, we're dropping the first of, I'm calling it, 2020, kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff from this year that I'm going to be doing that involves fishing and then the Jimmy Houston stuff. I got the first three already in the can. The first one's going to drop after the show. It's going to have its own, like, little deal. So, I mean, that'll notify the people who listen on YouTube, too.
Yeah.
Watch it. Let me know what you think about it.
All right.
I mean, I can do whatever I want. I got no direction on this whatsoever.
Very cool. All right. Continue to review us and give us a rating on iTunes. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And continue to follow what we do. More news coming next week, Matthew.
About what?
About us. Working on something.
Do I know about this yet?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. We'll have to talk about it after the show. But it's good stuff.
Forgetful.
I know. All right, everybody. Be safe. That's it. We're out of here.